Well, good morning, church family. How's everyone doing? So glad that you're joining us on this weekend after Resurrection Weekend and joining us again as we continue this sermon series that we launched on Easter. And Pastor Larry really shared a wonderful message, and it was about how Jesus breathed on the disciples. And he did that in order to give them the Holy Spirit in their life, which allowed them to be in connection with him. And today, as we move on to part two of this new teaching series, we're going to talk about how we can stay connected to Christ and with Christ through that same Spirit in which helps us navigate even these troubles that we face in our own lives. Now, I don't know about you, but every time I see that bumper video, that intro video for this sermon series, and I think about modern ways that we are connected these days, what comes to my mind are those old Verizon Wireless commercials. And you remember the guy with the big black glasses? We got a picture of him up here on the screen. And he was going all over the United States, and he would find himself in some really odd places. And then he would say these words. And I bet if we remember, we could say them together. So let's say that on three. One, two, three. Man, that is absolutely amazing. They were pretty effective in their advertising that we can all say that. Can you hear me now? You know, this idea of being able to go anywhere and to be going through just about anything and yet remain connected with a strong signal is exactly what this sermon series is about. And especially today, we're going to be talking about how we stay connected even in the midst of difficulties, of troubles. This is a very important thing for us to discuss because Jesus said that we would have troubles in this life. And we know that that's true, definitely the case. And what can so easily happen is that those troubles or problems can kind of become like static on the line. And it can interfere with our receptivity to God. For what God wants to communicate in our lives, we can't hear it over the noise, over the problems in our lives. And so we're tempted to focus more on the bad circumstances than on the goodness of our Creator. And you know, I don't know what problems that you came in here with today, but I know in my own life, I do have problems. And one of the biggest ones on my mind and in my heart right now is that I've been staying close to my cell phone all week, and I've been waiting on that phone call that really no one wants to get, because we know that my Aunt Debbie might be going home to see the Lord at any moment. See, she's been battling cancer for 3 years. And she just recently got transitioned to hospice care. And so we know that she doesn't have much longer to live. And so we're filled with anxiety and sadness as we think about when she'll be graduated to glory and she'll no longer have to struggle through the pains of this life. You know, it was in a similar set of circumstances that the disciples actually found themselves in the passage that we're going to be looking at today. Jesus had gathered together with his disciples in an upper room to celebrate a Passover meal together. And it was during the midst of that conversation, even though Jesus had been dropping hints all along the way in his ministry, he began to speak to them more plainly about what was in store and that he was going to be departing them. And where he was going, they couldn't follow him. And so you can go ahead and take out your sermon notes. The passage that we're going to be looking at today is in John chapter 14. And specifically, we're going to be reading verses 16 through 18. But just to set it in better context for you, I want to look at verse 1 and also verse 25 through 27 at the end. And so Jesus is gathered together in that upper room with the disciples here as he's sharing this. And so hear the words of the Lord. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. All this I've spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have said to you. So peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. May God bless the reading of his word. You know, I don't know if you've ever thought about this before, but it struck me this week as I was preparing for this message that it is a little bit odd that we have these things called going away parties. I mean, why do we think that it's an occasion for celebration when someone is leaving us? I don't know if you've ever thought about that that way, but I guess it could be an occasion for celebration if we didn't like the person that much. But in that case, I think we should actually call it goodbye and good riddance parties, right? But we don't normally hold those. But isn't it interesting? And I don't want you to get me wrong. It's not that I'm down on the idea of a going away party. In fact, as a staff this week, we had a going away party for a beloved staff member, Virginia Robb. She's our receptionist. She's done some wonderful work here for our church. And we are so sad to see her go. She is going to be heading to San Antonio with her husband, Horace. They're moving there pretty soon. So we had a going away party in order to celebrate her one last time and say our goodbyes. But you know, if truly the person is a beloved friend and you are celebrating them as they go, what you're having is not so much a going away party as much as a pity party, if you were to be honest, because you are filled with sadness and disappointment. And what are you going to do now that this person is actually leaving you? And that's the backdrop of this passage. The disciples are having a pity party as they are gathered around their friend. Their master, the one whom they've left friends and family to follow over these last 3 years. And then Jesus is telling them that they cannot go with him where he is going any longer, that he must depart. And so the disciples thought that they were going up into that upper room just to celebrate the Passover meal. But when Jesus told them that this bread and this cup no longer only refers to the escape from Egypt, but refers to his shed blood and his broken body on the cross, they began to realize that this truly was the Last Supper. And what they were about ready to hear was truly Jesus' farewell speech to him while he was here on earth. And it's interesting how he starts out. He starts out on a very pastoral note in order to encourage and comfort the disciples. He says this in verse 1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me." And understand that we got to put ourselves truly in the shoes of the disciples. We no doubt would have been devastated at the thought of losing our Messiah, the one that we had placed all of our hope in to bring about deliverance. And yet he's telling us that he's leaving. And so put simply, our trust in him would have surely been shaken as he's telling us that. And that's part of the reason why he reassures them in their faith that they can trust him and that what he's doing truly is for their greatest benefit. But you know, it's kind of hard to trust somebody when they're about ready to leave you. And so Jesus knew that. And that's why he goes on to share with them the most amazing gift. He gives them the most amazing promise, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so for the rest of our time today, we're going to dig into that. We're going to talk about the role that the Holy Spirit plays in our lives and how he helps navigate us through life's challenges and obstacles. And so I want right from the start to just tell you what the big idea is for this sermon. You can write this down on your sermon notes. The big idea is this. It's that the Holy Spirit gives help and hope to those with heavy hearts. See, the Spirit is not given to perfect people. He's given to broken people like you and me who know that we don't have everything put together. And that's why we need God in our lives. We have heavy burdens that we can't carry on our own. And in order to receive that Holy Spirit, the thing that we must do is to place our confident faith, our trust in Jesus Christ. Because as soon as we do, he pours out the Holy Spirit into our lives. He gives us the Holy Spirit, which gives us a heavenly hope that's not found anywhere else. And Jesus gives us this amazing promise again in Matthew 11, 28. He says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You know, this idea of rest here isn't just rest for the afterlife. It is rest in your everyday life. And Jesus gives you relief, and he restores you, even in the midst of your daily struggles, through the Spirit. And what's so amazing to me about this gift of the Spirit is it's the gift that just keeps on giving. I mean, it is forever, enduring. Look again what Jesus says in verse 16. He says to the disciples who are weighed down with all that worry, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. And he is the Spirit of truth. What Jesus is saying is that the disciples don't have to worry when Jesus leaves about what they're going to do, because the truth is that Jesus isn't leaving. Although he is no longer there physically, he is there spiritually forever. In fact, Jesus goes on to say there in verse 17 that he lives with you and that he will be in you forever. You know, if you've ever been lost or you've ever been lonely and you've ever been left behind, maybe by your parents as they were doing something else and they've kind of forgot you there, you and I who've been in that situation and have yet been found can testify to the goodness of Jesus's words here. The good news is that we no longer have to worry about being lost or lonely ever again, because the Holy Spirit is with us, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he guides us in all things that are right. And the Spirit is on the inside, and so we don't have to ask ourselves, where did we put that Spirit? He's right here with us, and he never leaves us. And so even when you stumble and fall, the Spirit of God gets you back up and puts you on the right path again. So I just want to mention two specific ways that really encouraged me as I think about what the Holy Spirit's role in our life is as wonderful counselor. The first role that you can write down in your notes is that the Holy Spirit plays the role of constant comforter. He's our constant comforter. He just pours peace into our hearts. And that is the same peace that passes understanding. And so no matter what you're going through in this life, you know you can get through it. In fact, this is what Jesus said in verse 27. He said, "My peace I give to you. I give it to you." You know, peace of mind and peace in our heart is truly something that so many in our world today are searching so hard for. But the reality is that that type of peace is only found in one source, through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit he gives us. What so many are searching for is soul rest. It is a rest knowing that your sin and shame has been dealt for once and for all on the cross. And it's a type of rest you know that you can at any moment turn to God and ask for his heavenly peace and hope in your life as you rely on the Spirit. And see, we know in prayer, when we pray, he listens to us. He has demonstrated it once and for all in Jesus dying on the cross for us. And so when we pray to him, we can be absolutely certain that he cares for us, so we can take our cares to him. You know, I mentioned my Aunt Debbie a few minutes ago, and she is one of those in my life who has played such a tremendous role and really a role model of faithfulness in my life. You know, she was one of the very few that remained faithful in prayer for me, even while I was engaged in sowing some wild oats in junior high and high school. She prayed with my mom for me weekly. They would pray. And so when I eventually bent my knee to Christ in college, although she was incredibly grateful with my mom for that, she wasn't really surprised, because that's exactly what they had been praying for years. And so, it is one thing to believe when you're praying for someone else. But you know, it is quite a different thing when you're praying and when you're believing and it's happening to you in the midst of the pain. And so I went to see my Aunt Debbie a few weeks ago, and I drove down to Houston because she was receiving some exploratory treatment that she hoped would help in yet another round of chemotherapy for this pelvic cancer that she's been suffering through. And she could barely look up when I got there. But the one thing that she could do was smile. And that's what she did. As soon as I walked in the room, she just lit up. And she could barely talk, but she beat me to the punch. I was going to tell her that I'd been praying for and thinking of her all these many days. But she asked me first. She said, "How are you, Jordan?" in her sweet, soft voice. "How are you doing? And how are your beautiful kids and wife?" And as she said that to me, it was such a humbling experience because I just knew that she was thinking about me and not herself in the midst of that pain. I don't know if you've had an experience like that, but it is the real deal. And the only way that you can be focused not on yourself, but on others in a moment like that is by drawing from the deep reservoir of the Holy Spirit's peace and power in your life. And so for 40 years, she had been doing that faithfully. And so when the moment came, even at that moment, she was drawn from his peace and had that presence about her. And maybe that's what you needed to hear today. That by relying on God's strength and not your own, you can have heavenly peace. In the midst of any circumstance that you might find yourself in today. It's the kind of peace that gives you a comfort and continues and conquers, even in the midst of temporary trials. And I don't know what kind of problems you might be facing today. Maybe there's a big financial obstacle for you. Maybe it's work-related or family-related. Or maybe when you look on the horizon, you are not sure of which option you should take. Or maybe when you look out there, you don't see any good options. And so you kind of feel trapped. You know, it's in the midst of all of these real life circumstances that we need to turn to and trust in the Lord, to rely on his strength and ask him to give us peace. But it's also why we need to ask him to give us direction. And that's the second role of the Holy Spirit in our life. You know, life is a journey. And although we might not always believe it or think about it at the time, we truly do need a tour guide. We need somebody who can come alongside us and point us in the right direction to go. And that is the role of the Holy Spirit. He is a trustworthy teacher, and that's to fill in there. He guides and guards us along the path that we should go. You know, he guides us by prompting us of what we should say and what we should do, so that what we do are things that honor God. But then when we don't do that, he puts conviction in our heart. And it guards us and puts us back on to the right path so that what we say in the future will be worthy of Christ. And the truth is that if you and I were left to fend for ourselves and to kind of have no other helper helping us along in this journey, we wouldn't make it very far without falling down. You know, I was reminded of that this week when I was trying to teach my kids to ride their bike without training wheels. I have three kids, but two boys, and I was teaching them. There's a 5- and a 6-year-old, and they're both very different. You know, one of them is much more timid, and so he was wanting me to hold him the entire time and just kind of help him steer around those corners, and so I did that. But with the other boy, he is, let's say, a little more adventurous. And so he, within 5 seconds, was wanting me to let go so that he could have at it and go for it. And so eventually, I did. I did let him go. And guess what? Do you think that he navigated safely back home all by himself? No. Within 5 seconds, he had hit a wall and then fallen down on his behind. And you know, you gotta love him because in that moment, he goes, "Dad, I thought I had it. I just didn't see that wall." You know, I think if we're being honest, though, most of us, there's probably a little bit of my boy in all of us, that we think we don't need the help and that we can truly do it on our own. But the truth is we do need a helper, someone who comes alongside. And, you know, it really is the Spirit's role in our life to be a teacher and give us all heavenly wisdom. Take a look at what Jesus said in verse 26. He says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you." How many things will he teach us? How much? All things. All things he'll teach us. And he will remind you of everything I have said to you. Some of us think we know a lot. The Holy Spirit knows more. In fact, he knows all things. And it is that teacher that we need in our life to navigate us through the storms of life. You know, that word here, counselor, it is a word in the Greek called paraclete. And various Bibles translate it differently. Some Bible translators will translate it helper or advocate or comforter. But what the base level idea of a paraclete is someone who comes in or comes alongside to help. And that's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. He helps us lead us into all truth. And he frees us from living a life of lies, being led by the evil one. He teaches us all things spiritually and eternally significant. Namely, he teaches us the words of Jesus Christ. And he tells us how to apply them to our life. And so truly, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's absolute truth and freedom. And so here is the bottom line for us today. If you and I are seeking to find freedom and peace in the midst of our daily lives, then you and I are going to need to learn to lean on and look to the Lord in order to lighten the load. We got to look to and lean on the Lord. You know, the fact is that we couldn't carry the sin in our own lives on our own. And that's why Jesus came and died on the cross for us. But even in our daily lives, we can't carry the weight of all the sadness and all the stress that comes along with living on this side of eternity. And that's why the Holy Spirit has been given to us. And Jesus knows that we need him. And he's an incredible gift. He's a travel companion that provides comfort. And he's a tour guide that guides us in the direction we need to go. But here's the thing about good gifts that are given to us. Even though they are freely given, we have to receive them and then open them. And that is true with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so as we conclude this message, I want to help us make it personal and then make it practical. And to do that, I want to ask us honestly to evaluate how we're doing in this area by asking two key questions that I hope are going to encourage us in the days ahead to be looking to and leaning on the Lord. And so the first question I want to invite you to ask is this: am I relying on God or on someone or something else to give me peace? Am I relying on God or someone or something else to give me peace? And as you think about that, I want to ask you to go back to this last week and think about major decisions, difficult situations that you faced. And ask yourself, who was the first person that you went to? Did you go to God in prayer, asking for his peace and his direction in your life? Or did you turn to your best friend? Did you turn to complaining? Did you turn to another substance to provide a temporary relief? You know, to help us with this week, to remind us of the need to be relying on the Spirit, you may have noticed that in your worship guide, we wanted to give you a tool. And so I want to invite you to open up your worship folder. And inside there, you'll see a card. It says connected on one side. And on the other, there is a prayer. And we wanted to give this to you because we know that in our everyday life, it is so hard to remain focused on Christ in the midst of so many other distractions and difficulties. And that's one of the biggest challenges to following Jesus. And so what we want to encourage you to do is to take this card home with you and then to put it somewhere where you'll see it a few times a day. And so for you, that's your car, or you can take it and put it in your kitchen, maybe on your refrigerator. But each time that you pass it and you see it, let it remind you that the Holy Spirit is inside of you. And then thank God for that good gift. But then pray this prayer. Pray, Holy Spirit, fill me with your peace today and give me direction in the way you want me to go. Let's pray that together, guys. Say that with me. Holy Spirit, fill me with your peace today and give me direction in the way you want me to go. You know, as you pray that prayer, in the coming week, I am absolutely confident that our God will do exactly as you pray. He will give you peace, and he'll give you the direction that you need to go. And so the second question that you need to ask is this next one. And it's really about, are we willing to listen? But the question is this: am I responding to what I hear the Holy Spirit and Scripture say to me? Am I responding to what I hear the Holy Spirit and Scripture say to me? The question is not whether God speaks, but the question is whether or not we are ready and willing to listen. He's always speaking to us through his Spirit and through his Word, what he wants us to do. And so one of the biggest goals of the spiritual life in following Jesus is to limit the distance between when God reveals a truth to you and when you actually apply that truth in your daily life in obedience. And so just honestly ask yourself, are you living in accordance with the revealed truth that God has given you? Or are you living in disobedience? And submit that to him, because the truth is that the pathway to peace is by surrendering your whole life, all areas of your life, to the Lordship of Jesus. So I wanted to ask you to think back to those early disciples as they were gathered together in that upper room, and they were having a pity party at the thought of Jesus leaving them and what they were going to do without him. What they didn't know at that time and what Jesus was trying to tell them, and what they would ultimately figure out at Pentecost, was that although they thought they were getting disconnected from Christ, they were in fact getting and staying connected to him. And the Holy Spirit is a tremendous gift in our life. He is our constant comforter, and he is a trustworthy teacher, and he never leaves us. He gives us continual and perpetual access to infinite spiritual resources in Christ. And so he gives us heavenly gifts, good gifts, like love and joy and peace and patience in your life. And so it's by relying on and responding to that Spirit that daily we are shaped and changed more and more into the image of Jesus Christ until that day when he leads heaven and comes to earth and we go to be with him forever. And it's on that day that there will be no more pity parties, but only the perpetual party of us gathered around that heavenly banquet table as we eat our fill with the Father at his good table. So let's pray and thank him for that. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you never have and you never ever will leave us. You demonstrated that supremely when you sent Jesus to be our sin sacrifice, and he shouldered the weight of all of our burdens, and he took upon himself, and he died on the cross. But Heavenly Father, you continue to demonstrate that goodness by the gift you give us in the Holy Spirit. And he is the one that fills our life with peace and hope and all other good things that you want to give us. And he guides us along the path that is pleasing to you. And so our prayer today is that we would not grieve the Spirit, but that we would please the Spirit by walking in step with you. That in all areas of our lives we'd be submitted to you, and that we would rely on and respond to what you reveal to us. That we wouldn't hold to our own direction, but allow you to steer us and guide us. And so we truly do pray in one accord, Holy Spirit, fill us with your peace today and guide us. Give us direction in the way that you want us to go. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.